You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
What's up? Welcome inside Studio 34 in Midtown Manhattan. It is Fantasy Sports Today, overtime, live right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. All in kid, Jake Seeley, Wall Street, Matt Medica. Got plenty of NFL stuff to get into today. Free agency, talk about some of the moving and shaking and how it's going to affect draft boards in 2018 as we begin the journey. But first, before we get into all of that, I only got a couple minutes. I want to bring back the Lenny Melnick back on the telephone line. I don't want to get you cut off. Now, you're not coming with the same energy that you came with yesterday. But
But I'm saying the same thing. Don't talk about energy. I'm tired. I just did an hour show. So here's the deal.
I've done two.
Who has the most rushing touchdowns in the NFL history? Do you know that?
Who has the most rushing? And Lenny, Lenny.
No, listen
where
to me.
Where is what you had yesterday? I want that energy, Lenny.
Where is what you have it, Corey? You're doing it.
I didn't say nothing yesterday.
All right, be quiet.
Do you, Lenny? You're not going
to
get away with that, Lenny.
The running back.
Go ahead. I'm listening.
Listen to me. You won't let me talk. So how can I have the energy? Because you're pathetic. The quarterback hands the ball to Emmitt Smith. Emmitt Smith has a tackle and a guard who open up the hole, and he scores a touchdown, right? He didn't fumble. I handed the ball off to Andrea. I said, follow me. I blocked. She scored the touchdown. She didn't fumble. Right? She deserves a lot of credit for that, just like Emmitt Smith. Okay, so you open your mouth as a friend. There's a lot of people who agree with what you said yesterday, and that's fine. But do you think you're a turncoat friend by saying that or not?
No.
You don't?
No.
So then what are you mad at me for?
I'm not mad. You call me acting like a crazy man.
I have my opinion about you, and
you
I think you're nothing.
You call me acting like a crazy. You think I'm nothing. You call me acting like a crazy man. All right, so I'm cool with that.
No, I wasn't that. That's how I normally act. I don't act like a crazy man.
Yeah, you call
that's
me acting
I'm
like
acting.
A crazy man.
What, now, mind, you're
not
you acting
like
a moron?
You might not, you're not acting like that right now, though.
You're a joke. You know that? You're a real joke.
Goodbye, Lenny.
You're a joke. So, all right, so what else do you want me to do? How else do you want me to stand on my head? I'm telling you, you're an idiot. That's not good enough?
Goodbye, Lenny. There you go right there. So that is, we put the end to that. Now we can get back to regularly scheduled programming. You know, I want to give a big rest in peace shout out to Craig Mack, Flavor in Your Ear fame, passed away last night. So I'm quite sure we'll hear that throughout the course of the programming day. But really, enough of the nonsense. We got a lot of fantasy football stuff to get into. We got to figure out the Arizona Diamondbacks rotation. We were supposed to do that yesterday, and I got in trouble for not doing that yesterday. So there you go right there. We put the nonsense to bed. Pushing ahead to Tout Wars weekend, but we got to dig deep into NFL free agency right now on Fantasy Sports Today Overtime. I have not introduced Matt and Jake yet because I know they didn't want no part of that little thing I just had to do just now. You feel what I'm saying? So that's me being fair to them. You feel what I mean? So we got a lot of things to get off. You got a lot of NFL stuff to unpack today. We'll get to some baseball a little bit later on. Like I said, rest in peace to the homie Craig Mack. So we'll get that done. There you go right there, Chris Pavona, right on the spot. 844-843-6879. Anything you hear about, anything you want to discuss on the program today, I'm all ears. 844-843-6879. FSTOT, when we come back, we get ready to crack the microphones and dive into NFL free agency.
The RotoExperts.com exclusive Edge Fantasy Baseball Package for 2018 is here and better than ever. Packed with a deluxe suite of articles from our award-winning analysts, this year's edition also features a brand new Slack channel, an improved cheat sheet generator, and our most accurate projections ever. We take you from draft day to championship week. Enter promo code FNTSY at checkout for a discount on your RotoExperts.com exclusive Edge Fantasy Baseball Package.
Back up and at 'em. FSTOT right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Oh, the good old days of the fantasy football frenzy. Yes. So, Jake, right? I see a lot of stuff on Twitter, right? And people are like, oh my God, I can't believe the Kansas City Chiefs gave Sammy Watkins $30 million guaranteed. When will these teams ever learn? And I'm thinking to myself, Sammy Watkins is 24 years old, elite pedigree. One of the, we've seen the back half of 2015. I understand that was 2.5 years ago. Put up elite level numbers, then dealt with injury, then this year dealt with an offense that wasn't catered towards him. But when it comes to pound for pound talent and skill, at 24 years old, Sammy Watkins should get $30 million of guaranteed money. I don't understand what people acting like Sammy Watkins is a bum.
No, he actually shouldn't. He can't stay on the field. As the fact is, he has one good season and it's been on a ridiculously efficient pace. To say that he's going to be able to do that again is a lofty expectation, not just for Sammy Watkins, but for any wide receiver. To catch 60 balls and put up those touchdowns and yards numbers, that's just unheard of. And so, does he have the talent to do so? Absolutely. Has he done so since? Has he stayed on the field for a full season? No and no. So I have no problem. You can tell me you're going to give $30 million to a receiver that hasn't played 16 games and has missed a ton of games the past couple of years and hasn't produced anything to that level and doesn't have 1,200 yard season, doesn't have 12 touchdowns. Like, he doesn't have anything there. He has the talent. I'm not disagreeing with that. I have Sammy Watkins atop the draft board, that class. Sammy Watkins, Odell Beckham, Mike Evans, all of them were in the conversation for the top three. The only reason Odell Beckham was the third behind them is because a lot of people doubted the size at that point, and I was one of them, honestly. But the fact is, Sammy Watkins and Mike Evans were at the top of my draft board. The talent is real. But is there, you got to factor that into a situation where you say it hasn't happened yet. How are you going to give $30 million to him? But the market might be demanding that, and the Chiefs did what they had to do. The Chiefs wanted him, and just like the situation with Norwell and the Jaguars, when you look at the fact that he's now the highest paid offensive lineman in all of football, doesn't make a ton of sense when you look at it with real glasses, but at the same time, you had to possibly do that to get it done, and they did what they needed to get it done.
All right. Yeah. Go ahead, Matt.
He played the full season last year. It wasn't productive as one would hope. But
I don't think that was his fault.
But I don't think he was used as the deep route guy. They really didn't throw deep passes. That wasn't their forte. That wasn't the success that the Rams were looking to do. I mean, Cooper Kupp was drafted for a reason. We saw other players, a former teammate of him, Robert Woods, really come into his own, have a fantastic year. I just retweeted a Graham Barfield tweet here. Sammy Watkins averaged 70 yards per game in his first two pro seasons at age 21 and 22 years old. 15th most among first and second year wideouts all time. And it's a pretty damn good list.
I think this is a dynamic talent that, you know, the injuries to the foot have slowed him down through the first half of his career. We saw him go out there all 16 this year. Now, him and Cooper Kupp, listen, he got into that mix later on after Jared Goff and Sean McVay and LaFleur had already started working. When he got there, and that was early August, late July when he got there. So you take that into consideration also. The offense really wasn't built for, you know, a player like Watkins, but obviously Gurley getting the work that he got, not to mention Cooper Kupp and the breakout of Robert Woods. So I'm going to give him a mulligan for the past two seasons and continue to bank on that season, that back half of that season where he balled out. Now, that could very well be wrong, but I just think the talent is too real on one Mr. Sammy Watkins. Now, another thing, go ahead, Matt.
I'll just say this with going to the Chiefs. I mean, this offense looks fantastic, but there is Hill, there is Kelce, you have Hunt. So, for fantasy purposes, dependent upon his price is where it's going to determine it for me.
I would do it in the middle of the fourth round. I'd go on record saying that right now. I'd do it in the middle of Sammy Watkins in the middle of the fourth round in the 12-team PPR.
You'll get him every single time.
Where do you think he should go, Jake?
He's a wide receiver three.
Okay.
Low-end wide receiver three. He has the upside to break the mold and change all that with Patrick Mahomes. So let's not forget, Mahomes is going to be his first full starting season as a quarterback. He played one game last year. He's going to be behind Tyreek Hill when it comes to explosiveness. He's going to deal with Travis Kelce. He got Kareem Hunt out of the backfield. There's a great chance he's the fourth option on this offense. There's a really good chance that he is. Now, he's the number one in a number one NFL wide receiver for this team because Tyreek Hill is not that. But that being said, this is almost Patrick Patrick Mahomes isn't going to come out as a rookie season throw for 4,500 yards and 30 touchdowns. If he does, I'll openly admit I was 100% wrong, but that's not happening. And if you give him 4,025, which is a pretty damn successful season for a rookie quarterback, because that's essentially what he is. He'll be a real, like a true rookie quarterback next year. You still have to factor in 4,025 with Kelsey getting 1,000, Tyreek Hill getting 1,000. I think Sammy Watkins, honestly, I'd put him around 900 yards and 5 to 6 touchdowns. That's great, but that's a wide receiver. Wait, 3.
Didn't he score like 7 touchdowns this year, OJ?
Yeah, I think the one thing is, I said it last hour or the first hour, whatever it was, I don't think he's coverable inside the 10 on a slant pattern. We've seen the only way they could cover him is you had to hold him.
Yeah.
That was the only way. And I'm going to hope in Kansas City the usage is better. There's just so much to go around. Yes, Mahomes is a rookie, essentially. But, I mean, I'm looking what Alex Smith was able to do there last year. And Mahomes at least flashed to us this cannon of an arm. I mean, what he's been able to do on the run and throw the ball down the field. Now, I truly love
Now, I agree with Jake on the thing with Pat Mahomes, right? But I just think that Sammy's going to get his looks. He's going to get his opportunities. He'll score his points. The single coverage that he's going to be able to draw. Can't too many corners in the league guard Sammy Watkins one-on-one if he's 100%. What I do agree with Jake is the Pat Mahomes thing. Listen, the kid played in the regular season, in preseason. Then he took some meaningful snaps down the stretch last year. Let's not anoint Pat Mahomes. We know about the great big arm and stuff like that, but I'm not ready to anoint Mahomes as this guy that's going to be overhyped quarterback, much like Jimmy Garoppolo. He still has not really played in the NFL game yet. So let's pump the brakes a little bit on that. I agree with you on that point on Pat Mahomes, Jake.
Yeah, definitely. But we've got Kirk Cousins signing with the Vikings for 3 years, $28 million a year.
All right, so there you go. Second piece dropped right here, 844-843-6879. You got any questions, comments, you can get involved right here on the special edition of the Fantasy Football Frenzy. Now, so we see Kirk Cousins.
Just the one thing we said about was before we go to Cousins, like with Jimmy G, how everybody's all in love with Jimmy G now.
Yeah.
And it took him, you know, just a few games.
Mm-hmm.
So at least there's weapons all around for this kid Mahomes.
I get it.
Yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo's a lot more talented, though, as of right now. Patrick Mahomes has all the skill set, but he's very, like, his mechanical issues were a huge problem. Granted, he went to the perfect team to fix all that, but he has got a lot of mechanical issues that need to be worked. That's why he wasn't drafted as high as a lot of people say. Just based on pure talent, he's actually probably got a little bit more innate talent than Garoppolo. The problem is sales passes because he's got poor footwork. He makes some poor decisions at times, too. The fact is, I love a lot about Patrick Mahomes. You can look at my draft right up from last year. You can look at the free agent tracker right now on rotoexperts.com. I even took an excerpt out of that. But the problem is the mechanical issues. You're talking about Garoppolo versus Mahomes right now. Garoppolo is far superior when it comes to mechanical performance.
Yeah, that I'm not arguing. I'm just arguing the talent that has been surrounded by him. You know, you have probably now the league's best tight end. I think Hill is just a rising star. You add Watkins, Kareem Hunt. We know the Kareem Hunt love this show has. So,
all right, Jake, are you seeing where this is set? This Vikings thing. I'm hearing that he's in Minnesota. The deal is 3 years, $28 million per year.
It's coming from Rappaport.
So he's likely to sign.
It's basically all this is one of the ones, unless something falls apart at the 23rd hour. This is everybody. It's coming from Rappaport. 3 years, 28 per.
Yeah, Roto World was saying that was going to be his first visit to Vikings, and I didn't see the Vikings letting him leave it out of contract anyway.
So there you go. It looks like it could very well happen. New York Jets get scooped. Denver Broncos.
Everybody's doing that 3 year deal.
Yeah, because obviously the CBA will come to an end, and then you'll get to see what you got after that.
With the Jets, will you be excited to see Teddy Bridgewater become a New York Jet?
I would be. Listen, they're going to have somebody else there with him. It looks like that's going to be the route the Jets go. The Jets can't even pay a man $70 million to come play for them, and it's not fair. I feel bad for Jet fans, not for Met fans, but I feel bad. I feel bad for Jet fans, though. Now, I really want to get into the Cousins thing on the other side. Hold on 1 second. I got a message from Mr. Sussman. Let's see what this is about. All right, this is the Kirk Cousins thing. All right. Okay. Hold on 1 second. All right, the Cousins. Okay, not official, but all right. So we're going to keep our eye on the Kirk Cousins situation. Right now he is in Minnesota meeting with the Vikings. He is not meeting with the Twins. because if he was meeting with the Twins, then they
he wouldn't get a contract.
He wouldn't get a contract. He'd be like you, Darvish. You know what I'm saying? He'd be searching for a deal.
They'd be signing Teddy Bridgewater.
So here you go, right here. It looks like we're gonna get ready to unpack this thing with Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings. We'll dive into this when we come back on the other side. I also wanted to talk on Allen Robinson, his signing with the Chicago Bears, what that means for the pieces around these players. So, looks like we're going to have Kirk Cousins in Minnesota. It's been speculated that that would be the case for a while now. I'm not the biggest Kirk Cousins guy, but I want to see what Matt and Jake think when we come back on the other side. What does this do for Adam Thielen? What does this do for the diminutive Stephon Diggs? You got Kyle Rudolph in that situation. You got the young running back in Dalvin Cook. And you got we'll figure out who the new OC is. This skips my mind right now when we come back. It is Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
All right, here we go. Back up and at him. FNTSY Radio. Goon Squad on Fantasy YouTube. Shout out to you. Popping in a minute, you know what I'm saying. Got some more breaking news coming in. This is an interesting piece right here, too. Matter of fact, a play I already have a share of is Trey Burton. Obviously, looked like he was going to leave the Philadelphia Eagles in free agency. Trey Burton does leave Philadelphia. He goes and joins Allen Robinson and that new staff over there in Chicago. Jake, putting a lot of pieces in place from the new head coach to the new offensive coordinator. You get the big toy in Allen Robinson on the outside. Now you bring in Trey Burton to the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, he'll be a tight end one in fantasy next year. Unfortunately, this kills Adam Shaheen's breakout potential. And sorry if you had him in Dynasty, the holdover. But Trey Burton is, look, every time he's given the opportunity to step in for Zach Ertz, he impressed. He's hard to cover in the red zone. He's hard to cover basically anywhere in the field, just like Zach Ertz and Travis Kelce and the rest of them. And guess what? Nagy's coming over, and what did he do? Oh, he just implemented a hell of a lot of passing game work for Travis Kelce. So at tight end one, I was top 10 probably for Trey Burton.
Trey Burton, Jake is calling him a top 10 tight end. I got him in the 7th round of a 14-team league in the Trendsetters draft, me and Andy Saxon. Full disclosure, this was an Andy pick. I wasn't on Trey Burton.
I knew that was an Andy pick.
I didn't have to tell you that, man.
You didn't have to tell me that.
So Jake got him as a tight end one. I definitely do think he's in the tight end one conversation.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was thinking maybe San Francisco, but because I thought the Bears were pretty high on Shaheen. He looked like, you know, he was going to – he did very well towards the end of last year. Look, this is what you got to do. When you commit to, you know, they moved up the spot. They gave up all those, you know, all that draft pick capital and all that last season for Trubisky. You have to commit to this quarterback. And they're doing it. From the head coach, I mean, just the getting – Fox out of there and the addition of Nagy. That was good to start. And all these pieces that are coming in. And let's see what the draft hall brings for them.
All right, so we got that going down right now in Chicago. I want to get back to the Bears in a little bit, talk about what they're doing. But first, let's start to unpack this situation in Minnesota. With the Vikings. It looks like they're going to get their guy in Kirk Cousins. Now, Jake, you bring Cousins in there. You look at the pieces around Cousins. First, what do you think about Cousins' fantasy value? You got those two weapons in Thielen and what's the boy name? Diggs, Maryland dude, Fair the Turtle. Thielen and Diggs on one side. We're not even going to talk about Treadwell. Not even tripping off of him. You got Kyle Rudolph there in the middle. You know how Kirk Cousins likes to utilize the tight end. And then you have second-year player in Dalvin Cook in the backfield. Is this body cake and not the icing situation, Jake?
No.
Or however you say that?
Buy the whole damn store.
All right, buy the whole thing. All right.
I want everything. I'll make it a Vikings run. Put Kirk Cousins in the basket. Give me Thielen. Give me Diggs. Give me Cook. Give me Rudolph. I'll take every damn one of them. This is Kirk Cousins been QB5 each of the past two seasons, despite playing with far lesser talent last year with the Redskins. I mean, just look at what he was dealing with last year, and he was still QB5. This guy averages more yards per completion than Case Keenum did, and Case Keenum simply came in under Shurmur and performed admirably for what he was asked to do, and he only made Thielen a wide receiver one and Stephon Diggs a high-end wide receiver two. You're telling me that Case Keenum can do that and Kirk Cousins can't do the same? This is going to be similar to the years where it was Nelson and Cobb for the Packers when we're talking about fantasy. Thielen can't really go up much more. He was already 11th at wide receiver last year, I think 8th in PPR. He can't get much higher than that, but we'll see more consistency from Thielen, which is a good thing. Stephon Diggs can climb into that high-end wide receiver two conversation, maybe even get into the wide receiver one conversation with both of them inside there, like I was talking about with the Packers. Kyle Rudolph, similar to Thielen, probably not going to go far up from wide or tight ends 5 or 6, but he'll have more consistency in getting to that. And then Dalvin Cook, we know is Dalvin Cook, and we've already seen Kirk Cousins likes to use the running backs out of the backfield with Chris Thompson. So I want everybody on this team. This is going to be a terrific offense, and just from a pure NFL standpoint, this definitely makes the Vikings one of the prohibitive favorites as the Super Bowl.
I mean, today on March 13th, the Vikings versus the Chiefs Super Bowl would be pretty fun to watch. But I don't know if the Chiefs are getting there with a rookie quarterback.
What, the Cleveland Browns?
Vikings versus Browns in the Super Bowl. Matt, when you look at Kirk Cousins, definitely more than likely going to be in that top 10 range. Got a lot of pieces, a lot of moving pieces around him. Do you think, if you have to look and say, okay, anybody may take a step back in this scenario, I don't see it. I think what you see is
Stephon Diggs stays healthy, he takes a big step up.
I agree.
It's just the health.
I'm a Diggs guy.
It's just the health. I'm going to be back in on him again. I know that already. I haven't really even gotten into football, but I know that already with this. It just, this signing made too much sense for the team, for the player. It's a good thing. Like Jake said, he wants everything. Why wouldn't you? When you saw what Keenum did, and now you're adding Cousins and putting the talent that he has around him now. I mean, look, if you're a Vikings fan, it was heartbreaking to go to Philadelphia and get blown out like that. But, you know, you're fired up. You're fired up today. You can't wait for the season to start. And, it's going to be interesting.
All right, so we got you covered hot and heavy as this news comes in.
The only question here, Corey, like, there's no questions, there's no intrigue. The only question or intrigue you have with this team is whoever the wide receiver three is for their number three wide receiver is whether they can have any fantasy relevance. Whether it's Jarius Wright or Laquon Treadwell, maybe finally shows up, does anything since he's drafted, either one of them. If they are continually the third option for this team, you'll probably find deeper league value by week option where you can see those guys end up turning to be like a wide receiver five.
Interesting to say that. Interesting pieces. And like you said, you also take into consideration the fact that Stephon Diggs is a player that's banged up from time to time. So that third wide receiver could have some fantasy value. Now when you switch it over to Chicago.
I mean, the Vikings are clearly the favorite in that division. I mean, they have to be one of the NFC favorites, but you're going
to
take
it. It's going to be interesting
to
see what Green Bay does. Because there was rumors and reports last night that Green Bay was trying to get in on this Allen Robinson thing, which is not good news for Randall Cobb and maybe even possibly Jordy Nelson. So it's going to be interesting to see what the Packers got to do something.
Even Sammy was mentioned in that, too. I would like
Sammy,
to see
Sammy. Yeah, that would have been, team. Oh, my God.
Aaron Rodgers throwing
can
the
you
ball
imagine
Sammy?
Me and you with the Sammy Watkins love of
first round.
Oh, my goodness. So, interesting to see, but it does look like the Vikings are the favorite right there in that division right now. But, you know, we still want to see what the Packers are going to do because they still got the best player in the division in Aaron Rodgers. Now, let's stick inside that division with the Chicago Bears. So we see the move. They bring in the Chiefs OC to be their head coach. They bring in the young play caller from Oregon to be their OC. Now, obviously, the job right here is to work on Mitchell Trubisky and get him up to speed. You bring in Allen Robinson big time. Number one wide receiver, and today they add Trey Burton to the mix. You got to think Tariq Cohen, Jake, is going to get more involved also. I don't know if the kid Trubisky's any good, though, but I think we're going to find out this year as everything that the Chicago Bears are doing is to help develop Mitchell Trubisky.
And I wrote about it a couple weeks ago before even these signings. I said he could be the next breakout quarterback. You want to look at the Jared Goff potential breakout from what Jared Goff did last year? You're looking for a similar situation. This is everything I said that could happen for Mitchell Trubisky. If you look at this offense, if you look at the fact you bring in a number one wide receiver, you put some talent around him. They also brought in a top 10 now tight end, and they're giving him weapons, and they're probably not done, whether it's Cameron Meredith coming back and being 100% or draft or something else. They're not done, and this is the comparison I made. You put weapons around Jared Goff, and the ascension can happen. And for everybody that's going to be drafting Patrick Mahomes as a QB1 because it's going to happen, I'll wait, draft somebody else, and my backup quarterback, who could potentially be next year's Jared Goff, will be Mitchell Trubisky.
Right, so there you go right there.
The truth.
Mitchell, the truth. What do you think, Matt Madika, the way they're putting it together in Chicago? How you feel about Cohen? How you feel about Robinson?
I'm really interested to see how Cohen is used.
Do you think he's going to be overdrafted, Cohen?
Possibly. I mean, you know, you got to see what the hype is and how the hype builds and stuff. But this was a player that was underutilized. We heard ridiculous statements from the head coach and the offensive coordinator how they couldn't use him because teams knew he was going to get the ball. I mean, that's just asinine. That's caveman logic. And, you know, I think very good things lie ahead. And then, like, Jordan Howard, I'm going to assume, is going to have the opportunity to score a lot of touchdowns.
Yeah, that should be the case if he's finishing off drives with the team and offense and get it going like they should. So, really, this is the offensive coordinator, the head coach, and the quarterback's job to get this offense moving in the right direction. We'll see what that can end up being. When you look at Allen Robinson, Jake, want to take a quick early inventory, I would say probably the back end of round 3 in the 12-team.
I'm not too worried about trying to predict where he's going to go in drafts at this point. I'm just worried about what he's going to be. And he's back to being a fringe wide receiver 1. I'd say high-end wide receiver 2 is what I would call him, and that's my expectation. It's going to be tough to crack that top 12 with the ascension of some of these other players at the same time. But if you're looking for the opportunity here, it's not just his talent that we're banking on. We're talking about 25, maybe even higher, 27, 28% market share of the passes coming from Mitchell Trubisky, even with Trey Burton. And you're just looking about that kind of share is going to push him over 1,000 yards, is going to push him into the 7 to 10 touchdown range. So if you put those two things together, 1,000, 1,100 yards, even 8 touchdowns, that's high-end wide receiver too, just by the numbers.
Yeah, and it's, you see, Matt, the thing about it is, once again, you're seeing him for what he is, a volume wide receiver.
Well, that's what I said earlier today. He's going to get the wealth of it, you know. He's their guy now. He is the number one.
So now who is Blake Bortles' guy? Do we see an ascension in Marquise Lee and Allen Hurns without Allen Robinson? Is Marquise Lee the go-to guy in the passing game?
Keelan Cole and Dede Westbrook.
Yeah. I mean, I would think Lee, if Lee is re-upped with the team, Lee's the guy. But they have these young players that they're obviously believing in and going to be investing.
All right. So Marquise Lee, Jake. Marquise Lee, Dede Westbrook. Marquise Lee will be ranked higher, right?
And who's the other kid? Cole?
Keelan Cole. Yeah, Keelan Cole.
He looked pretty damn good at the end of this year.
I don't know that. Marquise Lee is a guarantee to come back. I still think it's a little crazy to pin your hopes on him being your wide receiver. Put it this way. Right? Marquise Lee is your wide receiver 1 with Keelan Cole, Dede Westbrook, who I am a fan of, but that's fine. And Allen Hurns, this is basically the Giants' backfield of wide receivers. You don't have a true number 1.
Yeah, so there you go right there. That's what we got. So far, yeah, give it to Fournette. That's what we got so far, breaking down NFL free agency. Any more news breaks, we'll make sure we'll get it to you right here on Fantasy Sports Today, Overtime Edition. When we come back, we turn the pace, or talk a little fantasy baseball right here on FST. All right, so back up and at them, FSTOT, right here on the network. So Denver Broncos look like they're going to get their quarterback. Looks like we're going to see a situation where Case Keenum now becomes the signal caller out there for the Denver Broncos. Couldn't get Kirk Cousins, going to get a stopgap quarterback. Jake, do you think they still draft a quarterback, the Denver Broncos?
Don't know it'll be in round 1, but I could definitely see them doing so. And it might be around 1, honestly. At this point, Case Keenum, I think we all have our questions of how good he truly is and what Shurmur was the factor behind him and everything involved with that. And I think that if you look at Keenum too, he's not exactly a young quarterback. He's been around for a good while now. So I think that they can still draft a quarterback of the future. Just now, whether or not it's with the 5th pick is now the question.
All right, so Matt Modica, when you look at the pieces that he inherited, Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, we think Emmanuel Sanders will be back. I like Devontae Booker in the backfield. Who's the tight end? Am I tripping? There's nobody worth speaking about, is it? That's the case.
I know they had like one guy, like every, they're kind of changing them up each week. There was that white guy, I can't remember his name. But I'm really not excited about this team. Maybe I'm wrong, it's early. But I'm not too excited about the Denver Broncos offense heading into 2018.
What do you think, All In Kid? You know the particulars, Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders. If Emmanuel Sanders is back, Case Keenum coming in. I think Case Keenum was more of a system guy last year. That's why he succeeded so well. I don't know what Bill Musgrave is going to do with Case Keenum, but I can't imagine you really see a boom in the fantasy value of Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders. It more than likely stays right where it's at.
No, I disagree. I think this is easy stock up. If you look at the Case Keenum last year in 15 games being thrust into the starters, the Vikings threw for more touchdowns than the entire Broncos offense has thrown for the past three seasons. It's 22 touchdowns, 20, 19, and 19 the past three seasons for the Broncos. This is an easy stock up. The Broncos have had miserable, god-awful, piss-poor, whatever what you want to call it, quarterback play for the past three seasons, and there's no excuse for it for what this team has been doing and trying to find a quarterback. They have one, and whether or not you want to question Case Keenum and what he was doing for that offense, well, guess what? A lot of those receptions that you want to say, like, people are going to say, well, Stephon Diggs helped him and Adam Thielen helped him. Well, he only has Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders, who are two of the best receivers at helping out their quarterback. They, for what they've been able to do with the quarterbacks that were there and help them out to do anything, is commendable for them. And now they get Case Keenum in there. He can make enough throws. He can keep the game in control as he does making the short throws. Demaryius Thomas back into high-end wide receiver two conversation. Emmanuel Sanders on that 2-3 conversation turn. They're neither one of them are going to be back to the top elite 10 levels. Like Demaryius was. Yeah. But they're definitely stock up.
I think Case Keenum was a system quarterback. I think that he was the perfect fit for Shermer and what he wanted to do with that system. I don't know him going to learn a new offense in year one can bring, because I think he's an average quarterback that's best fit, like a Ryan Fitzpatrick is what I consider Case Keenum as.
No, he's better. Again, this is selling Keenum too short for what happened last year.
Yeah.
This is everything like this. Like, okay, it was only because of Shermer. It was only because of, look, there's just a definite concern that at this point, like, Case Keenum is going to take a step back. There's definite concern. But you want to talk about a system, he's going to be running a similar system with Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders. He's going to have a very similar wide receiver duo who, honestly, to this point of their careers, are much more accomplished than Thielen or Diggs. You want to talk about talent versus talent, I think they're on very similar levels, if not the same. But I think that he could come in there and do the exact same thing he just did with the Vikings. And in that case, you're going to see stock up for both of them.
Dennis Roy, shout out to Dennis Roy, the Goon Squad. Shout out to Dennis Roy in the chat. He said it's hard to run into a dude in jorts. That's funny. Sorry. Matt Modica. So a little bit earlier in the program, on the last program, we had the homie Q call in. And you can call in too, 844-843-6879, telephone number. You want to talk NFL free agency, you want to talk fantasy baseball, you got keeper, whatever you got. If you just want to shoot it, we cool with that too, 844-843-6879. Now, Matt, Q called in and said he was going to think about giving his first shot at fantasy baseball this year because all the great information that he is getting. What I'll say to you is, for Q, do you think it's better for Q to go roto or head-to-head to start his journey into fantasy baseball?
Go roto. You know, we're here. He can always call in, you know.
Yeah.
We give him the segment. we'll definitely coach him up. It'll be fun.
So you think he should start with roto? I would think roto would be too difficult to start with roto.
Okay, you start with a 10-team.
10-team roto? All right, Jake, what do you think? Should Q, as a first-time fantasy baseballer looking for a league, should it be a rotisserie league? Should it be a points league? And should he go, like, I don't know if a first-timer can go hop into a 15-team roto.
No, head-to-head points. If the first time ever, you want to not lose your interest, I would say head-to-head points. The problem is a rotisserie is fine, but you're going to lose interest if it's your first time in and you're a football advocate, especially towards the end of the season. And, you know, this is why you get the people that check out in August and September as they start focusing on football. So if your first time diving in, I would recommend head-to-head points.
All right, so there you go right there. Shout out to Fred Zanke. I saw yesterday on Twitter, well, the Zank Man is no longer going to be with the good people Oh, well, maybe they're not good. With the good people over at MLB.com. But he's a beast of a player. He's a beast of an analyst. He's a beast of a writer. I'm sure Fred Zinke will land on his feet. So shout out to Fred Zinke 100%. So Matt Modica, the Houston Astros were at the White House yesterday. Jose Altuve and the crew visiting Donald Trump, you know, get the little celebration and ceremony and stuff like that. A lot of people are split on, like, the number two player after Mike Trout. And I'm like, Jose Altuve is the best offensive player in baseball. Why is it not him?
I mean, look, Altuve should be the number two. For me, Trout is the clear-cut number one. I know Altuve out-earned him and stuff. Look at what Trout did on a per-game basis last year. He's been durable. Even if Trout's not the number one guy every year, he's going to be in that conversation. He's going to get you the home runs. He's going to get you the stolen bases. He's going to bat around 300. So I'm going to go with Trout. Somebody asked me what my KDS was, one of the opponents. Steve Braun, shout out to him, excellent player. And he said he got his second KDS, which was 10. He asked me what was my first, and I said always Trout. I'm always going to put one down and then go from there. Yeah, look, Altuve, I think Altuve might not steal 30 bases this year. Maybe he steals like 27 bases or something. I don't know if he's going to bat 346. Even if he bats 320, 315, scores all those runs, he's still a fantastic option. It's a second base. I personally like to start off a little different, but that's just me.
All right, so there you go right there. What do you think, Jake? Altuve, right?
No, not for me.
For you, Altuve is staying, right?
It is Stanton. And actually, Altuve was out-earned by Arenado, Stanton, and even Judge,
When you say out-earned, what does that mean?
Their final dollar value, which is that this is the way you factor the end of the season rankings with baseball. Because you can't just say, you know, you don't have that ranking. Unless you do points, you can't just rank and say, you don't have a real formula for rotisserie. So you figure out their final dollar value. And it's by ranking their performance versus everybody else. And you get your dollar value and all that type of stuff. You can go to Fangraphs and you can see about all the formulas and Z scores and all that kind of nonsense. But the fact is, he checked in at $42 last year. Stanton, and it was either Stanton was at 50 or Arenado was at 50 or Blackman. Like, they're all up there, but he's just behind them. And there's no problem with taking Altuve, because if you're doing a normal draft, I mean, we're nitpicking about top three or four picks here. If I have the second pick, I'd probably lean towards Altuve, because you get the steals that Stanton's not going to provide. But the reason Stanton finishes higher is just because the 120-plus runs and 100-plus RBIs and 50 home runs and all that type of stuff, that's why he finishes with a higher number. So according to projections, Stanton's going to be higher on my list. If I'm drafting number two, it's a whole different conversation. I'm probably taking Altuve.
For me, it's like I said, I'm going to put number one first and then kind of go towards the middle of the draft. Towards the middle of the first round, there's just so many good players. I mean, in 12-teamers, I've had Bryce Harper. I was able to start Bryce Harper, Carlos Correa. I mean, you have so many options. You want to go Chris Bryant. I mean, I think Chris Bryant's going to be a stud again this year. I don't think he gets enough love. I think he's actually too far down. He's still a baby. Everything he did last year was fantastic. He just didn't have the RBIs because of where he was batting. You put him back in, like, say, you move him down a spot or two in the lineup, those RBIs will be there.
All right, so obviously fantasy baseball time, inching up closely. Got the big Tout Wars for Civic festivities going down this weekend. Oh, it might be a shooting. but commissioners out there, you're starting to get your thing together for fantasy baseball 2018. Matt, let me ask you a question. 12-team league, $100 a dude, is $1,200 in the pot. How much should the champion get?
The champion, to me, should get like 50% at least.
At least 50%.
But that's me. I know some people might want to break it down more. But, I mean, if you had $1,200, you know, say you gave $600 to first, maybe what, $400 for second, $200 for third. You
could do maybe something that's
like
it.
That. Or you want to give a little something back to the commissioner, take 10% off, kick some back to the commissioner.
All right.
I think the commissioner, you know, should get a little something for having to deal with all that nonsense. Or at least a free entry. Maybe.
A free entry is what I think is ideal for the commission. Jake, what do you think? 12-team league, $1,200 in the pot. How much should the champion get?
Half. I don't know. I'd have to run the numbers. I don't know off the top of my head without looking at it. Yeah. I don't know. I don't care.
Well, maybe like $750. give second place. If you gave $750, $350 in second place, and then the third place gets their money back.
If it's 12 team, I usually do fourth place gets their money back.
Okay, fourth place gets the money back. I'm just trying to
get. That's just as usually do. I don't, again, I would have to see. I don't know off the top of my head.
I'm just trying to give any commissioners.
Hey, you're asking
there.
July questions in March. Come on.
It's not July because it's fantasy. Well,
no, you got to have
you
that.
You got a commissioner. Yeah, commissioners are setting up games now.
Yeah, July question. That's not even drafted until August. July question in March.
Right. I'm sorry.
Well, I thought it was a fantasy baseball question.
It was a fantasy baseball question.
Oh, I thought it was a fantasy football question.
Well, 12-team league, you know what I'm saying? Putting it together now for your baseball homies, you know? There you go. Sorry, Jake. You get this fancy haircut now, you know what I'm saying? People have been saying Jake had a new haircut. I didn't notice the difference. But when we come back on the other side, we get ready to put it in the books right here, FSTOT.
Fantasy Sports Today.
So now, who is Blake Bortles' guy? Do we see an ascension in Marquise Lee and Allen Hurns without Allen Robinson?
If Lee is re-upped with the team, Lee's the guy, but they have these young players that they're obviously believing in and going to be invested in.
Well, I don't know. Marquise Lee is a guarantee to come back. Marquise Lee is your wide receiver one with Keelan Cole, DeeDee Westbrook, who I am a fan of, but that's fine. And Allen Hurns, this is basically the Giants' backfield of wide receivers. You don't have a true number one.
Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern, only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Little 50 Cent. What up, gangsta?
I found my breakdown for you, Corey, in case you're curious.
Go ahead. I'm listening.
What I've been doing is half the money back for fourth place, an extra little change for third, and then a little bit. So basically, if you did 1,200, according to how we've been doing in our league, 650, 350, 150, and 50.
That's cool. I can dig that.
You kind of almost get a little bit more than double than the next person, but that's kind of how we've done it. If you want to get rid of the fourth place for 50 and throw that 50 to first place for 700, that doesn't bother me, but that's how we've done it.
I would think I would want to get to 700 if I'm the champion. You feel what I'm saying? Especially after a long, drawn-out baseball season, Matt. Matt was like, Matt was like, my league's 1,000. I don't know what y'all talking about.
I can't wait for this weekend, put it that way. Just a few more days.
Just a few more days, you're right. So the homie Vlad is coming up here, right?
Vlad's coming up here. Hopefully we'll have him in studio.
Trying to get Vlad in studio for RotoWire. He does a good job. Vlad Settler, you know what I'm saying? Andy will be up here this weekend. Right.
Yes, Andy. Thursday night, we'll be here. We'll have a cocktail.
Rock and Raleigh. Yeah,
he puts his little list together of things to do every night.
Is that itinerary? Is Andy fitting the bill?
Hopefully, but I don't know about that.
I'm just teasing.
He usually does buy a couple of rounds or something.
Yeah, shout out to Andy Saxton. We got Trey Burton on our team, so that's what's up right there. So I'm glad that
Will you be getting a Trey Burton Bears jersey?
No, I'm gonna get a new Dez Bryant jersey, the rebirth of Dez Bryant.
What team is that gonna be?
It's gonna be the Dallas Cowboys, man. I can't believe you did that.
I couldn't refuse.
Jake, we were talking earlier. Yo, can you imagine Baker Mayfield? He seems like he's the perfect quarterback for Bills Mafia. You feel what I'm saying? Like, I could see him getting drafted by the Bills and going through a table on draft night. I think Baker Mayfield and the Buffalo Bills is a marriage made in table folding out the sky heaven.
Yeah, and they traded up already, so there's a chance they could get him now.
They just got to make this happen, man.
They do.
They got to make this happen.
I'll be very disappointed if it doesn't.
Yeah. Shout out to Mike Florio, too. Mike Florio.
Number one in crotch-grabbing taunts.
that's
I like a cocky son of a bitch.
That's Bill's Mafia right there. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, Jim Kelly wasn't the nicest guy.
He wasn't? I thought Jim Kelly.
Definitely. He's fighting cancer.
Yes, prayers go out to Jim Kelly because he had the cancer came back up. So hope he gets that taken care of.
I'm talking about a younger Jim Kelly.
Yeah, no doubt about that. So. That's cool. Yeah. And Jake, your team, oh boy. You got to trade down, right? At this point, right?
Well, they should, unless they sit at number two, which I said from day one was my nightmare scenario, is they stay at number two and take Nelson at number two.
Nelson, not Jordan.
No.
So,
this offensive line makes the Seahawks front look like Pro Bowlers.
All right, so we got a lot of stuff going on right here on the network today. So I want y'all to make sure everybody stay tuned, because coming up next is the Best Friends Forever. They'll talk some baseball. They'll get you some of the latest NFL free agency news. Of course, out throughout the course of the day as news breaks, FNTSY Radio got you covered, because you got Scout Fantasy Sports with Adam and Doc. They do a good job, you know what I'm saying, breaking it down, bringing you multiple sport information. Then you got Game Time Decisions with Red Heat and Rage. This dude's a nut. So we got you covered right here all day. I think Spittin' Speeds might be in Studio 30 for the night, too, doing the fantasy freestyle. So shout out to Spittin' Speeds.
Shout out to Spitz.
No doubt about
that. And go to rotoexperts.com to watch the NFL free agency tracker that I have up there.
No doubt about that. Rotoexperts.com. All in kids, NFL
and
free agency.
Channel,
NFL free agency tracker. Jake's gonna be banging out on that all day, so make sure that you go check that out. Don't make that work in vain. Yeah, that's what we got coming up for you right here on the network. Also, sign up for the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Baseball Package for 2018. I have survived another day in this industry. Let's see if I'll be here tomorrow. I'm pretty sure I will be.